Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, good morning. It's the DraftKings Over Under 98.5 Show or the Over Under Show, the DraftKings Show. With the bell, with the boys, with Tucker, on a super wild card Saturday. I feel like I just sounded like one of the fellas there.
I mean, I won't say you weren't.
Yeah, I know. You don't know what happens. And again, we follow a nationally syndicated show. And then I hear it in my car first thing in the morning, and it's like, little fellas. And I just feel like it just sticks with you.
It's
right, Tucker? It's that stink?
Don't know what you're talking about because I haven't listened to them for months.
Good. Me either. Yeah, it's a tough one.
What do you listen to on the way in? Music?
Podcast, music.
Oh, you guys
anything
podcast,
but the fellas?
Yeah.
When I do a podcast, I do the whole thing. Like, if I'm going to do a podcast, I don't just.
So you don't listen to Joe Rogan then? Because those are like 3.5 hours.
I would do the whole thing. I do like Rogan, actually.
No, I'm talking about at once.
Yeah.
You got to break it up. I listen to that over the week, you know?
Yeah, like, I love wrestling podcasts. I knock those things out. Some of them are 2 hours long. I need 2 hours. I knock them out. I used to like some of the gambling podcasts, but...
You don't say.
Too many commercials.
I like the gambling podcast still. There's a few out there, a select few that I still listen to. That's what I listen to this morning. Every Saturday morning I usually listen. I can't do that. It's like listening to Amy Lawrence all over.
Hey, I miss her.
You miss her?
You know why I miss her?
That's the best thing about leaving
Do you know why I miss her?
Why?
Because I love Ben Mahler. That's my guy. I've liked Ben for years.
You miss her because you get Pharrell?
I miss Pharrell, too.
Okay, I miss Pharrell.
I miss them all.
I legitimately miss Pharrell, but I don't miss anything
right,
about
so you,
that.
So we've decided today that Dan would bet on the fellas over Amy Lawrence.
No.
All right. Then.
I think they're pretty much even in the book. They're pretty terrible.
All right. Well, we got a big show today. A big one. It's a super one. Phone number here, 617-779-0985. You want to talk football betting? Like, this is the place. You want to talk it? You want to talk college basketball, NBA, national championship? Like, this is the spot. 7-9. On a Saturday. Now Daniel, last night.
Okay, Joseph.
Yes. You got to speak to us in our real names. Took a couple of L's last night. Now, when I tell you that I bet a game that I did little research on, let me just tell you the scenario.
Okay.
Celtics, Bullets, Wizards, whatever. The Wizards don't play defense. I saw the total at 233, and I'm like, okay, all right. And then it kept going up, but I'm like, oh, yeah, this is gonna be one of those nights. And then I look into it a little bit more, and I'm like, oh, man, this game's definitely going over. Like, just the more I looked at trends, and I'm just looking at it, and I'm talking to other people, and it's just like, I'm like, dude, this game's going over. So I put the bet in. And I'm watching the game, the tip off, and it shows the name of the official. And I saw Scott Foster. And I literally, like in the movie, Goodfellas with the mush. I went, oh no. Oh no. It was like, I knew it. I knew it. So you know what I did second half?
You bought out?
No. I doubled down. You know why? Because I thought it was going to go. I thought that. So because there was so much scoring in the first half, Dan, that I'm like, wow, maybe. I blame the Celtics, not Scott Foster. But, dude, I forgot about the wrangle. Like, you can't forget about the wrangle.
No, you can't. And especially in the NBA games, right? Like, in these high totals or whatever. If I have a total move two or more points in the direction I want to bet, I can't bet anymore. Like, it has to be near that original number. Well, I mean, what's been a very successful angle work last night, I'll just kind of give you an example. Last night, the Lakers, who'd they play? The Bulls,
they won
right?
by two, the Bulls,
okay,
yeah.
Right, yeah. So, but the total opened at 230, drops down to 221. That's a time where I'm like, okay, it dropped 9 points. Like, okay, maybe there's some value there. Same thing in Houston, Orlando. Opened at 230, closed at 221.5, finished with 222 points. Like, there are times where if you're seeing these sizable drops, I think you can get some value on the other side. But I think if you have a total go up, I think you just gotta let it rest. Like, you don't want to take that bad number. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's two. So it's two. I've been burnt by this twice this week. Iowa, when we did our podcast, I'm never again. Ever. And we even looked at the road numbers. The road numbers showed they score over 80 points.
Yep.
It was 79.5. It's my own fault. But I faded it. Lost. Last night, I saw that number go up, Dan, from 233 to 237 to 2 whatever. And I'm like, still going to ride it. Still going to ride it, bro. So I have put my finger on the kettle. I have been burned. And therefore, I'm not going back to that stuff. But what really bothered me was I never looked at the official. And Scott Foster, that game, in my opinion, should have won over. Something happened in that fourth quarter. I think it was the Celtics. I'm not blaming the official. But, like, they had, like, what, a 16, 20-point lead, something like that?
They had a...
It became four points.
It was almost 30 at times. I may have had a bet on the Wizards and the Wizards' second half.
Well, the Wizards didn't cover for the game, though.
Nope. But yeah, they definitely covered the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just... While we're talking about that game, I think in blowout situations, like that game got close, and I think that's why it stayed under.
I think it got down to like four.
But if that game was a blowout, both teams are scoring back and forth, and it's just, you know, the points just add up. And so that's where I'm at today. And then on our podcast, we looked at Michigan State-Purdue, talked about how bad Purdue was on the road.
Yep.
And holy bleep.
Real good second half for them. I mean, again, it's one of those Michigan State coming off a really big win and then blows this, you know, pretty sizable first half lead against, again, what I consider to be a legitimate home team in Purdue. Like, when you talk about Purdue being a home team in college basketball, they're as legit as it gets. That's a legit home court advantage. But on the road, I mean, they're a different team.
They're a fade. They're a fade on the road.
Usually. I mean, usually you're able to get a good number against them on the road. Michigan State, man, they are inconsistent this year. They are not a team that you can bat. I mean, you have to really pick and choose your spots with Michigan State. And last night, losing the Purdue after being up 15 at the end of the first half, that's just brutal. That's one of the most brutal losses you can possibly have.
Yeah, there were some other games. I thought Davidson would hang around. Dayton whooped them. It's been hard.
I mean, Davidson was a 7-point favorite. I think at closing yesterday.
So we're back. I'm back today. Let's go. We're back. Back at it today. Who's going to play quarterback for Washington today in those football games?
And tomorrow for the Rams. I mean, dude, we're looking at some real bad quarterback play potentially. I mean, you know, it kind of sucks to see in the playoffs, but at the same time, it's almost like an interesting angle to, you know, to look forward in the future. I mean, it's hard to imagine the football team, not gonna say the other name that I said on the podcast, the football team, and it's hard to imagine, a John Wolford or even a hurt hand throwing Jared Goff winning these games this weekend. But we'll get into it. But still, it's crazy. Taylor Heineke is going to be taking reps for the football team, splitting reps with Alex Smith, who apparently can't throw off his back leg. I mean, there's a lot to dissect.
There's a lot to get into. We're going to get into first hour. We'll probably do some college basketball. We'll look at the slate today, and then as people begin to wake up, we'll talk about the Saturday games in the second hour. We'll do the Sunday games in the first hour.
And you know what? We saved the national championship game for today. Clemson. Talking about just
your routine. Yeah.
Alabama, Ohio State. We didn't talk about it on the podcast. We were saving it for today. It looks like at this point, this game is going to be played. I was legitimately nervous that this game was not going to be played and didn't want to dive too much.
I would have been fine if they moved it back a week, by the way. We get like an extra week of football, kind of.
Yeah, you know? I feel like Ohio State making a lot of excuses. They're trying to get Justin Fields healthy. And again, that's my team, so I'm calling them out for it. Like, I feel like they're trying to get Justin Fields like an extra week. You know what I mean? It's COVID, and we're having another round of COVID. Yada yada yada. Like, I feel like there's an excuse there. Like, I haven't given teams like Clemson like. When they faced Notre Dame the first time, they were missing like two or three defensive starters and a bunch of rotational players. I didn't give them, no excuses. Play the damn game. Same thing here. Like, no excuses, dude. Justin Fields, I'm sorry you got wrecked. Learn how to slide. Learn how to slide. Don't take the hit.
Yeah, and again, I said that game reminded me of that LSU national championship. Remember Joe Burrow had a rib injury? And, remember, people thought he wasn't going to come up. What did he throw, six touchdowns in the – I forget what he threw in that first half.
I mean
– And it's like, Joe Burrow's got a hurt rib. He came out and just whipped ass.
I mean, didn't we hear about Trevor Lawrence being hurt game, too?
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it was the same.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is banged up. We know. We heard that last week, too. Yeah. Oh, no, Trevor Lawrence is dealing with an injury against Ohio State. Okay, is this kid always dealing with injuries? Like, no one's 100%. We get it, but come on, man.
It just sounded very familiar to me when we heard that.
Yep.
All right, let's look at the college basketball slate today. There is value, ton of value in college basketball. It's just, I know there's football happening at the moment. There's that rematch of, on HD2 today, 985 The Sports up, Northeastern in Hofstra.
No.
Hofstra, 1-point favorite.
Barn burner there.
Your team, Hartford, Dan, they're playing UMass Lowell, for those who are locals who care. Alabama, Auburn, if that was football, we'd all be all over that one. That's a good one. We got the Big Ten's been up and down all year, but Ohio State Rutgers. We got a little Creighton St. John's action today.
The big one early on, at least in my opinion, is the Texas West Virginia game. To me, that is
West Virginia had a hell of a comeback earlier this week.
They did against Oklahoma State. Really good win. This one's in Morgantown, though. This is a little bit different. Texas is getting their first, in my opinion, real true road test outside that Kansas game. Now, they played very, very well in that Kansas game, if you remember. But other than that, this is their second true road game of the season. I mean, the last time they lost to a bigger team. You can kind of spread it out and shoot like Villanova. West Virginia is very much, the same sort of team. They have struggled since losing to Shibu. Again, I like as a player. He should not be the motor guy on this team. You should not go into Kansas and lose by 14 and then go on the road and lose at Oklahoma. Like, you need to collect these wins. They look terrible on the road versus Oklahoma State. They came back. This is a big game. I feel like, everyone's going to be on Texas on the short spread. I'm very interested to see kind of what goes on in that one.
I got one circled at 9:30 because we're going to be balls deep watching Tom Brady tonight.
Probably.
So there's one at 9:30 that Oregon, Utah.
Yeah, I mean, that's
line is one.
Yeah, in Salt Lake, too. Salt Lake.
I got my eye on that one.
4:30, there's another really good game. Oklahoma on the road at Kansas in Lawrence. I do think that Oklahoma, despite their record. I mean, you know, they have you know, their three losses are against good teams. On the road at Xavier, who we've seen to prove and be a, you know, a good team. Home versus Texas Tech. I mean, that one to me, that one's the rough one. And then on the road at Baylor, their one real solid win this year has been that West Virginia game. I just look at this and say, man, Oklahoma, you have to play consistent today. Kansas has been just elite this year. I mean, they have found ways to win in these games. A 1-point win at home versus Creighton, 1-point win at home on the road at Texas Tech, 14-point win at home versus West Virginia. That one game they didn't show up was that Texas game. They came back with a vengeance, dominated TCU, beat them by 29 on the road. I think this is a really big game for me to kind of see where we are, you know, in the Jayhawks. This is a good Oklahoma team, not great but good, who's battle tested. They have a ranked win. What are they? I think this is a big game for both teams today at 4:30. Big one.
And there's a ton of football odds on who will be the next coach of which team. Blah blah blah. We got all that throughout the show today here as well. So,
and NBA, we got NBA tonight.
NBA,
the Scott Foster show goes on.
Damn, Scott. You should have seen me. I was like, all right, cool. Got the game on, kicked back, just watched, you know, watch it. And then I saw the officials tonight, Scott Foster, and I went, oh no. Oh no. It was like I felt like I was like a rookie. Like, why didn't I look into the refs? The wrangle. Like, what? And I knew it.
Yep.
And,
I have an NBA play today. So I'm going to give out an NBA
play. Oh, yeah. Do we know if the 76ers are playing a game today?
We don't. It's a 3
it's
o'clock.
It's the early game, too.
I can't imagine that they'll even play it at 3 o'clock. I think if they're going to, I mean, you got to like at least bump it back and give everyone an extra few hours. They're going to figure everything out, right? I mean, it's a 3 o'clock start. There's no fans. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Bump it back to 7, you know? You know, be careful. I know everyone wants day NBA, but today is, of all days, you don't need it. 3 NFL playoff games, gargantuan slate of college basketball. I mean, you just don't need this game. Bump it back if you need to.
Don't need it. All right, that's the opening segment. I wanted to give my losing monologue. Damn, Scott Foster got me again. It's worse in the playoffs, though. Like, let's be real. Like, it's like playoff records, like, unbelievable.
Yeah, man.
Like, whatever team, like, you know, the home team is and he's on the floor, it's like, well, actually, the Celtics did defy him twice last year in the playoffs. One was, like, against the Pacers, I think, in the game 5.
Listen, if you guys want to,
and then there was a game where it just went haywire.
You want to talk about a podcast, the Whistleblower Podcast. Ooh. Will tell you everything about this, about this guy. And I mean, you really can't call him on air what he actually is.
And I'm just
fixes games. Just call it out. Scott Foster is
a fixer. And listen, last night I don't think he had an effect in the game. I'm saying that I never looked into it. I saw the name, but I go, let's just chalk it up.
Did you enjoy taco time in the first quarter last night?
Dude, blocking shots left and right. Then I put wrestling on, and I went back to the Celtics.
Jaylen Brown, 13 rebounds last night.
He got that knee in the head at the end of the game there.
He played like a big dog.
Bradley Beal, laughing, smiling, down 20, just having a good time. Likeable guy.
41 points.
Likeable dude. 60.
I mean,
We could save this for another day because this is a gambling show. But being absolutely realistic, be real with me.
Okay.
Would you rather have, forget it, just answer the question, Bradley Beal or Jaylen Brown?
As a player or a building block?
Who would you rather have on the team?
Right now?
Who would you rather have on your team?
Jaylen Brown.
Bradley Beal or Jaylen Brown?
Because he's younger, there's more room for growth. And I think you're kind of seeing that take off. If you're making me play a game today, I'm taking Beal if you need offense. If you need an all-around player who gives you – I mean, Beal gives you nothing defensively. He's a negative in that department. With 1,000%, he's a negative defensive
player. If I may say this, if the Celtics could ever find a way to get Beal without giving up a Brown –
I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, if we could get Giannis without getting, I mean, come on.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
It's impossible. That's some green team talk.
Yeah,
right there.
I know.
Stop it.
Cut it out. I know.
It's not happening. The Celtics fans are trying to convince me the Celtics are getting John Collins for pennies on the dollar. And it's there are other teams in the NBA, and they actually have assets to trade that are.
No, I get it.
No, the answer is no.
I'm just, what I like about Beal is that he can play point guard. What I like about him is when John Wall was out, he played point guard and was very good at it.
Yeah, he's good.
I think he could do that in Boston.
Yeah, but defensively, he gives you nothing.
Does he give you less than Kemba Walker?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. In my opinion, yes, I'd rather. I think I'd rather. Kemba doesn't give you anything because of size, not because of effort. Beal is the effort problem on the defense end.
And may I add that Marcus Smart has been completely terribly unwatchable, hateable. Ugly. He's just everything about him right now.
Peyton Pritchard makes Marcus Smart expendable. That's the honest to God truth.
Said that all week on the morning show. If anybody ever lets me get a word in, but yes, Marcus Smart has been like he's like mean and mad right now, and it's like they got to get him away from everybody for a minute. That's what I think is going on with him.
The shot selection in the final few minutes.
Did you see him going at Mo Wagner last night?
I did not. No, I did not watch the first half of that game, to be honest with you.
We got a break.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right, it's the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, DraftKings Over-Under Show here. Happy Saturday, everybody. Any games you want to talk about today, 617-779-0985. I'm taking a look at the old Saturday slate here. I like the nooners, Dan. I'm a big noon fan. I like to start my day off with a good old nooner. One game I see off the bat, Rutgers, Ohio State, Big Ten. Rutgers having a good season. They're 6-1 at home. While Ohio State's only 1-3 on the road, but they do have that one road win on the year, which was very impressive. Total sits at 139. When I look at the trendies between these two teams, favorites 5-1, home team 5-0, last five meetings. Of the two teams, I think Rutgers is the better team. Trends show the over in this one, but I can't trust that. The Big Ten to me is a toss-up every single week, man. Every single night, the Big Ten. But I think Rutgers -4 at home is the right side based off the trend. How do you feel about Ohio State as a dog?
At 4, I feel much better about it than 1.5. I feel like this is a game that Ohio State can legitimately win outright. It feels like Rutgers has been in a bit of a slide. Even that Purdue game, they won by 5 at home, but it was not convincing. It was, a game that they kind of got at the end and pulled away a little bit. I wasn't super convinced.
And Rutgers got smoked by Michigan State. They have to bounce back from that.
Rutgers is 1-3 in their last 4. A loss at Ohio State, and that game was not close. Ohio State beat them by 12, and I thought that game was, the score line doesn't reflect how well Ohio State played in that game. Now, the loss at home to Iowa, I felt they got cheated in the final seconds of that game. I mean,
I think it was more of a veteran team.
Things just didn't go the way for them. And, it was the same thing that happened. I think it was last year Iowa won in Rutgers as well, or Piscataway or whatever it is. And, they had the same thing. And then they didn't even bother showing up in that Michigan State game. I mean, they didn't even show up to that game. 45 points. Just a brutal offensive performance. Again, Michigan State locked them down at home. We've talked about how inconsistent that Sparty team is this year. I think this is a game Ohio State can legitimately win. To me, Ohio State outplayed them at home. I know, again, this is a road game. Little different. How much does home court matter? To me, Rutgers has that home win against Purdue, that home win versus Illinois, but even that game was really close. Like, they have not been a dominating home team. I like Ohio State to cover that home spread. I do. I think 4 is a lot of Piscataway. Opened at 1.5 for a reason, in my opinion. I'm also taking a look at the under in that one. That's, again, this is the type of game where I think Rutgers offensively has been struggling the last few games. You only score 75 against Iowa, who's a team who you should be putting up 80 against, and 45 on the road to Michigan State. I mean, ugly. You would expect them to hopefully rebound, but still, I can see it. I'm not going to play it, but I do lean Rutgers with the 4. Sorry, Ohio State with the 4 there.
So I just feel like this is a revenge game coming off a loss for Rutgers. I think it's a good spot for them, but I feel like Ohio State's much better than they were last year, and they lost their best player. It's just the Big Ten to me is very different than it was a year ago, and I can't figure out the totals right now.
The Wisconsin game the other night should have got under. Went to overtime. Yeah, went to overtime. Rutgers next up, home versus Wisconsin. So I mean, this is
look ahead too.
Yeah, again, it's almost not for a week. I mean, it's the 15th. So I mean, you got almost that long. But again, is it a look ahead spot? I'd say probably not. I'd still say probably not.
Real quick. That Thursday night podcast we did gave the under, and I personally played Indiana, which hit, luckily, in that overtime.
Barely.
And I had UCLA at night, but remember we talked about all the issues with Arizona State? It went into overtime.
Okay.
And that's how UCLA covered.
Did you see how that game went in overtime?
So I did not see that.
Okay. No. That UCLA should have lost that game.
Really?
Lost that game. They got.
I woke up to a winning bet, Dan. That's all I can tell you.
You want to talk about some referee favors in the final few seconds there? Wow.
Oh, and I had Arizona, which lost. And on the podcast, specifically said the Mobley brothers or whatever they are. I haven't seen it yet. And like, holy crap.
I told you, we didn't know what USC was on the road. Very unknown. I couldn't take it.
Arizona's good. They're really good. They're a really good team.
Yeah, they're a very good team.
They got smoked. USC hit all the shots.
It's incredibly impressive how the parity around college basketball this year, with the exception of Gonzaga, Baylor.
And Iowa still plays up to everyone's opponent.
I think
they're a good team.
Iowa plays down at
down,
times, too.
Down to the opponent.
Yeah, and Wisconsin, Iowa are like on that verge of being in that conversation, but they're not quite there for me.
Yeah, and then you watch a team like Illinois was down, what, to Northwestern? 15, whatever
I mean, Northwestern scored literally two field goals.
I think it was 13 points in the whole half.
Yeah,
second half.
So something.
They were up 17 and scored 13 in the second half.
Remember I told you Northwestern has problems closing games?
There you go.
It's a real thing. That is a real thing.
But Northwestern is a first real. Team. You're right, dude. You're absolutely right. Like, I don't know, looking at some of these, like Auburn's 5-point dog at home to Alabama. And I know Auburn's not good. 6-5 this year, but like they lost like a lot of players in the draft. They're still well coached by Bruce Pearl. Like, who's Alabama to be a 5-point favorite on the road rival?
We talked about Bama was one of the teams I was very high on going into the year. I think I missed on them. I think I missed on them. I don't think they're quite as good as I was hoping that they would be. I mean, same with West Virginia. I really like West Virginia. Losing to Sheeb is that's a problem for that team. It is. That is a legitimate problem for that team. They don't look like the same team. I know they had a great second half comeback against Oklahoma State, but they just don't look like the same team. So they need to figure it out real quick if they want to be a legitimate competitor in the tournament. And I think today will give you a good idea what they really are. Maybe they figured some things out in that second half.
All right, let's take a quick break. 617-779-0985. More with you on the DraftKings Over-Under Show. All right, back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show. Dan Lifshatz is here. I'm Joe Murray. Let's talk to our buddy Dan, who's in the car. What's up, Dan?
What's going on, guys? I got a two-part question today.
Yeah.
Now, my Spurs, now's about the time where you start seeing these mock drafts. I saw Todd McShay put out yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw it.
Yeah, Fields to the Patriots.
Yeah. When was the last time the Patriots drafted a quarterback? Oh, yeah, it was 93 with Drew Bledsoe.
No, it was Jimmy Garoppolo, second round, but keep going.
I was talking first round. Anyways,
first round.
I wanted to, I wanted to call about this Cleveland Browns Steelers game here. Now, I know Kevin Stefanski's not going to be on the sidelines, but with everything going on right now, with the way that Juju Smith-Schuster's presenting himself, you know, calling for, saying that the Browns are just the normal Browns team that they usually play, why do I see this game a lot closer than the six-point spread? Why do I even see the Browns actually maybe squeaking out a victory? I mean, I get, you know, last week was a fluke without Ben Roethlisberger, but let's be real, it's Ben Roethlisberger, and he's on the decline like he does every single year.
I mean, Dan, the problem with what you're saying is, I mean, Mason Rudolph made that defense look pedestrian. I mean, did you watch the game at all? Did you see any part of that game Sunday? Like, Mason Rudolph was throwing deep to these guys, and it was no problem. Now, no Ronnie Harrison, who's their, you know, their playmaker in the secondary, and they lose their best offensive lineman. I mean, that's a massive hit in the run game. I understand everyone wanting to take the trendy dog this weekend. And look, I think dogs are going to do very well this weekend. I just think if you're going to take Cleveland, you need a seven. You need a solid seven, at 6.5. Honestly, you know me, I rarely consider buying. I think I would have to buy to a seven to consider. Again, it's a divisional game, so it's one of those games where it's going to be weird. It's just Jack Conklin's on the injury report. I mean, they're not going to have there's a lot of issues with the Browns right now. There are, and unfortunately, I just think that, you know, looking at Pittsburgh and talking about what Juju Smith talking doesn't mean anything to me. Like, this is not the Patriots. You know, Kevin Stefanski's not firing up his squad like Bill Belichick. It's a different sort of team. First time they don't even have an offensive playmaker or a play caller. Like, to bet on the Browns right now, I think, is living extremely dangerously. It's the one dog. In fact, it's the dog I would stay away from
just
the most.
The other thing to say, we mentioned this on our podcast, but the Pittsburgh Steelers have beaten Cleveland 17 straight times in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
17 straight times. Hey, Dan, what do you think of your Oregon Ducks tonight in hoops?
I mean, like I've been saying this for a long time, the Ducks, when it comes to hoop and even football, it's tough to back against the spread. So, you know, I tend
they're
to...
One point, let's call it a pick 'em.
A pick 'em?
They're a pick 'em tonight against Utah.
I'm a diehard. If you want to call this a green and yellow team or, you know, mustard and relish, I'm going with the Ducks. Quack, quack.
Hey, thank you very much. By the way, I wanted to mention this. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate the call, bud. I wanted to mention this. Grandy and Max haven't been on this week. They'll be back on Sunday. But when Peyton Pritchard scored that game winner the other night, wouldn't it have been the perfect opportunity for Max to yell, quack, quack, quack?
I guess. I didn't listen to the radio call. I did not.
Because back in the day, he used to do it because when we worked at 1510, our signal was on the ocean. So he used to go, quack, quack, quack.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
whatever. I just thought that would have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Say wild things, right?
You do. Especially Max. I mean, we're talking about...
It would have been great. Max, you listening, bro?
Yeah.
Give me the quack, quack, quack for Pritchard.
The reason I'm not back in Cleveland this week, no Joel Bitonio. You lose Ronnie Harrison. In my opinion, who's your playmaker in the secondary. You know, you have no offensive play caller in Kevin Stefanski, who I think has been the reason your offense has been so successful, setting up the run, the workout, the play action. There's so many factors for me. I can't back the Browns. I'm not encouraging you to take the Steelers, but I'm telling you, I'm not taking the Browns anything less than a seven. I absolutely need a seven to back them.
Home team, 5-1 against the spread the last six meetings. The Browns are 1-4 against the spread the last five meetings. Browns are 1-4-1 against the spread the last six meetings in Pittsburgh.
I mean, let's not forget what Pittsburgh did to them earlier this season. In Pittsburgh, 38-7. I know the Browns were a different team then, but still, I mean, they got the crap kicked out of them. That game was not close. It wasn't remotely close. If there's one dog this weekend that I'm staying super, super, super far away from, it's that one.
Yeah, and it's the Sunday night last game of the week And it's just, you know, the money, you know where the money, people are going to be bailing out or chasing.
I think people are probably going to be on Pittsburgh. I think that's going to be a very public.
And Dan, that might get you to 7.
Yeah. I was, if you listen to the podcast, I got some early numbers because if you're watching Twitter and you see the breaking news,
three and a half to six.
You can get on the number right away. You know, got to get on, jump on the number, before it's taken down. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. So, I mean, yeah, I got some good numbers, but now, I mean, no, they're, I just, you know, I'm not backing Pitt at 6. And I want the 7 at least for Cleveland to feel comfortable at that position.
Josh is in Connecticut. Hello, Josh. You're on the Sports Hub.
Yeah, hey, guys. I just wanted to see what you thought on the Colts-Bills. I know everyone's on the Bills bandwagon, but I've been watching the Colts the last couple weeks. Their defense is very good. Taylor looks like one of the best backs in the NFL. Rivers has been there before. I know the number 6, which, you know, the dogs at 6 tend to be a great play because it sucks everyone into taking their favorite. Yeah, I just
want to
know what your thoughts are there.
Thanks, Josh. So we can get into this one in a little bit here. But just off the bat, I want to say that Buffalo's offensive numbers have been incredible.
Ridiculous.
But Indianapolis's defense is legit. And I think they can – we talked about this in the playoffs. A strong running game and a good defense can go a long way. A long way. Can it beat Buffalo in Buffalo in its first playoff game in Buffalo in years? I don't know. But Dan, this is big for you. This is a big game for you. We got your boy Sean McDermott in another playoff game. And then your boy Josh Allen in a playoff game against Philip Rivers. And we'll talk about the game in a little bit more because we gotta go to break. But to me, this game comes down to which quarterback is going to make the mistake. Is it going to be Philip Rivers or is it going to be Josh Allen?
Ultimately, again, on a 6.5 spread, that's what it opened as. It has not moved. I mean, got up to 7 for a little bit, came back down to 6.5. You take the points at 6.5. You lay the 7.5. That is the general rule of betting. You take the 6.5, you lay the 7.5 because, the concept is the win will run a touchdown in the 7.5. The concept is they will, you know, cover the 6.5. You know, as a dog, you don't need the 7. I think ultimately this game probably gets the 7, but I agree. This is a big game for me personally for my takes. And you know what? It's likely that I'm going to be wrong. The Bills will likely cover. They'll likely win going away. I'll likely look like an idiot, but I still think that Buffalo, until I see it, they are a fraudulent team in my eyes.
Now, Dan, do you remember last year we went to a playoff game? It was the Patriots, and before the game, we were watching Bills Texans.
And
I had the Texans.
Yep,
you did. Remember, some dude was the dumbest pick of the world.
Load of crap for taking the money line.
And I got crap for taking the money line, which won. Which I got crap for winning a bet.
Yep.
Do you believe that?
It was a Bills fan.
Had the audacity. That's right.
It was a Bills fan.
Had the audacity, Joe. Stupidest bet in the world, taking the money line. Blah, 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 blah. I won.
It was a guy named Jack, who I actually become kind of friendly with now.
Yeah, Jack. You know what Jack can do?
He's a massive Bills fan.
Thank you, Tucker. Thank you, Tucker.
The duck dump you. The duck dump you?
No, almost.
Okay.
I think you said it for me.
Yeah, I said it back here in the glass booth, not on air.
I saw you back there.
Good job.
I won the bet. Imagine that. Taking the money line. Instead of, what, two points or whatever it was?
Again, I'm just going to say this. Sean McDermott and Josh Allen crapped their pants with a double-digit lead to Bill O'Brien in the playoffs. Bill O'Brien, one of the worst playoff coaches I've ever seen.
And to back Bill you O'Brien, up on that, can you saying. Believe the Texans don't have a first or a second-round pick?
Oh, God, that... and your quarterback, your franchise quarterback wants out.
He wants out.
It sounds like J.J. Watt. Like there's like some interest there. Like, oh man, that Nick Caserio better get everything in order. Jack Easterby better go pray on it or whatever.
All right, he does. Let's give out some plays coming up next here on the DraftKings Over Under Show.
If it's the biggest games in sports, You bet talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Dan. Pickaroonies, you got anything for today?
Yeah. I know we haven't talked much about the NBA today, right?
Ooh.
Yeah. We haven't talked much. I am going to take, and it's going to be an early pick, so I expect the line to go up. I know. The Magic and Mavericks under 216.5. That is for me today. Sort of a late game.
216 looks low.
Yeah, I like that. The Magic have been an under team this year.
Ooh.
They have been. They've been an under team this year.
The over is 22-8 in the last 30 meetings.
Don't care.
Different teams.
Yep. How about this? We'll call it fading the trend. I will fade the trend. I'm going to take the under in this game. Probably goes way the F over, but I bet you the number goes up. Okay, I'm taking it now because we're doing a show. This is what we got. I'm taking the under 216.5 in this game.
Well, just because we've been talking about it all day, and I've been looking at it for the last couple of hours, and Oregon's coming off a loss. Quack, 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 baby. Give me the Ducks -1.5.
There you go.
And the trends on that one, for those who care. Road team 4-1-1 last 6. Favorite 7-2-1 last 10.
Interesting.
So I thought, but the Ducks stink as a road favorite, so just keep that in mind.
They're not
1-6-1 last 7 as a road favorite.
Not a good roadside. Not even.
I didn't want to tell you that one, though. But, yeah, that one's... That one's not good for today. So you got an NBA pick. And, of course, you can always fade or follow any of these picks.
Yep.
Last week I had Louisville over BC. That one went very well. BC plays Virginia today with the line at 131.
I was looking at the game. Total 131. Virginia currently 8.5 point favorites.
Virginia's played one road game. One.
Yeah, they won that game convincingly in my mind against Notre Dame. I don't think that – I bet on that game. I was on Virginia in that game. I don't think Notre Dame was ever in that game. I thought that was a pretty decisive victory. That being said, BC 2-8 coming off a really good performance on the road at Duke. I thought they performed pretty well against Louisville. They were tied at half in that game, right, Joe? Am I crazy?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
13-point dogs.
Yeah, and then Louisville pulled away. They won by 12. And then before that, BC covered against NC State. I like BC in the 8.5 today. I do. I think that's a number.
BC scores, doesn't play great defense. Usually the games go over the total. You're playing a Virginia team that's very defensive. But in those defensive games, I think a high-scoring team can keep within 10. I do.
Yeah, me too. Especially on the road, you know, a rather untested team on the road. Again, I know they had the nice win at Notre Dame. We just kind of talked about that game. You know what? Screw it. Give me BC +8.5.
Fly, Eagles, fly. A couple of tweets coming in. Another Saturday morning grocery store ride with the boys. That's what I'm doing after this.
Yeah, you going to go grocery shopping?
Yeah.
What are you getting?
Well, what do you think? I'm gonna, you know why I'm going grocery shopping.
You getting some stuff for the air fryer.
That's right. As our buddy Bill.
It's an air fryer Saturday, baby.
You got the coffee brewed, eating leftover steak and cheese egg rolls reheated in the air fryer.
Oh, man. Kowloon sounds so good.
By the way, Kowloon was amazing in the air fryer. Last night, I got that Omaha steak package for Christmas. So it comes with, like, you know, kielbasa, steaks, chicken, hash browns, apple pies, like, you know, all that stuff. So last night I made kielbasa, and I posted a picture of it, kielbasa with hash browns.
My sister and her boyfriend got me that same package for Christmas.
But I air fried them.
Oh, nice. That's
incredible.
You air fried the hash browns?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was incredible.
Interesting.
I really mean it. And Dan, I know you're trying.
So I can't eat those, but I have them in my fridge for my wife. So I'm thinking, I was thinking about toaster ovening those for her for like breakfast this morning.
That's great. Yep.
Because her sister stayed over our house last night, so I was thinking about baking those this morning.
8 minutes in the air fryer, and it was frozen too.
Interesting.
But it gets out all that crap. So like it gets out like, you know, it's just frying. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
It's almost healthier. I mean, I don't know how healthy.
Relax. Going a little far there. I mean, yeah. Thank you, Tucker.
Start buying some McDonald's burgers, McMurray's, and start air frying those?
Yeah, it's totally healthy.
Tell you it's wicked healthy?
Yeah, it takes out all the crap.
We can get parfaits, and what else can we get?
Farpays and parfaits.
Farpays and parlays.
I can't tell you how much I was screaming in my car when you guys were
there. Was another
that.
One recently.
I was like, it's a parfait, me. Joe,
there
parfait.
There was another one that happened recently when you were texting. What
I know.
Was it?
I think it was, I think.
Oh, you were saying blender or.
No, you kept saying, blunder. I said blunder.
No, you, it's
a, you said blunder. Blunder.
No, it's, no, you said blunder, Joe.
I said blunder.
No, yes.
That's what I was, I said, yeah, the
it's
restaurant blunder.
Blender, not no, a blunder.
No. The blunders, like at rest, like I know, a mess up is a blunder.
I know you were, but
he said blender.
No, listen to me very carefully, Joe. No. Okay, I want to say this once. When you were saying blender,
yes,
it sounded like blender.
Correct.
That's a fact. I know what you meant with blunder, but I was like, why is he talking about blenders?
Yes,
it's like innings and innings, right?
No, it's just like innings.
People say innings.
I've never heard innings.
Oh, I have. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Anywhere west of Mass.
Really?
You hear innings. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's a Midwest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
And it is the stupidest, most annoying thing in the world. It's like when you go down south and say water. You go to Maryland or whatever, they say water.
Or like sorry.
Not water. It's water.
Sorry.
No, that's Felger. That's Felger. That's Felger just being Felger.
Speaking of the Midwest, I watched Tommy Boy last night.
Oh, great movie.
And my favorite part is like, it doesn't hurt here or here. Just.
Nope. Ship shake.
Just right here. It hurts Tommy Wingy. How about they air? How about I turn those fryers back
Fat
on?
Fat guy in a little coat.
Just got that tweeted, actually, right at me. Fat guy in a little coat. All right, we got hour two. You know what? Let's get right into the football games coming up next here after the headlines.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Into those Gunnar Olszewski stats. I guess that's all it goes by these days is stats. I remember when the guy ran out of the back of the end zone on the kickoff.
Yeah. I also remember that he was, I think, did he not? He didn't return a kick or return for a touchdown, right? Wasn't that Moncrief who returned it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, they had, everyone keeps saying they had two All-Pros. They had three. Matt Slater was finished second team.
Oh, I apologize, Matt three. Slater.
No, it's
you.
Not you. It was all nope. yesterday.
Nope.
It said two.
I said two in the headlines.
No, but it was all yesterday. They kept saying two. It wasn't just you.
Oh.
Everyone said two yesterday.
So should I say three now?
They had three.
They had three all pros.
Slater was on the second team.
Okay.
All right. They're all special teams guy. You know Bill Belichick cares about his special team.
So, Dan, we talked about this Buffalo game today. It's the nooner. The 1 o'clocker, actually. I would just like to say that in the 9-1 of the last 10 games that Buffalo has played, they're 8-2 against the spread. That's pretty good.
To be fair, can I be fair? There needs to be a caveat for that Cardinals game. They did not deserve to cover. Hopkins caught the ball. They didn't kick the extra point. They kicked the extra point. They don't cover the 2.5. They should be 7-3. Just point that out there.
Well, they should have won the game. Because I'm pissed.
Okay, but Kingsbury is a little B-word and then kick the extra point. Kick the extra point, Cliff, you little B-word.
Since that win, the Cardinals went nowhere, by the way. So, Hail Murray. Indy.
Cardinals went over the win total. All that matters.
Indy, Drew, went 5-5 in their last 10 games.
Against the spread?
Against the spread. So,
do you want to compare the schedules of who these teams
played? Well, I don't know if I want to compare them.
You don't, because Indy's schedule was a lot harder. They faced every single team they faced, with the exception of the Texans and the Jaguars, was in the playoff race.
Okay. How do the Colts limit the amount of throwing attempts for Phillip Rivers today? Because I think that's what it's going to come down to.
I think that's a tough buy for anyone. I mean, the hope is, and Tuck, feel free to join in here as well. Stephon Diggs is banged up. John Brown, I don't even know if John Brown is playing.
Yeah,
he
played.
He is. Cole Beasley is very questionable today.
Yeah, I was going to say Cole Beasley.
I think he'll play, though.
I don't know about that, Joe.
He's been a hell of a first down target, though, I'll tell you that much. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I just don't know if he plays.
Yeah.
Diggs is definitely playing.
He didn't practice all week, okay? So Diggs is playing but didn't practice all week. Beasley's banged up. I can't imagine John Brown is 100%. I mean, he's had injuries all season long. You're going to be looking at a lot of Gabriel Davis, our boy at UCF. We talked about him at the beginning of the year. Loved him. He had a good rookie year. I think they're going to have to go to a lot of Knox. Like, hey, to me, there is, if they lose anyone else, if they lose Brown or Diggs, I think they're in trouble, because I don't think Beasley will play. I think that, and again, he'll probably be more of a decoy if he does that. I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing that usually happens in these games, right? Like Gronk in the Super Bowl is kind of more of a decoy than an actual player. That's how you slow them down. You have to honestly hurt them, because I don't think there's any other way to do it. If you're into Josh Allen is going to get his. What you need to limit is the red zone touchdowns. Okay, that's what you need to do, and you have the defense to do that. You've been a very good defensive team this year. Obviously, you were better in the first half than the second half. In the second half, as I said, you faced the hardest schedule in the league. They faced the back end of the schedule: Ravens, at the Titans, Packers, home versus the Titans, at the Texans, at the Raiders, home versus the Texans, at the Steelers, home versus the Jaguars. I mean, every single team, with the exception of the Texans and the Jaguars, it was in the playoff race and was a good team this year. So, I mean, again, I think that you need to, you know, you're going to have to, you know, in the red zone, hold them to field goals, which is easier said than done against this team, and you need to run the ball and control the clock with Jonathan Taylor. The Bills' run defense, we talked about it many, many times this year. Their run defense is not very good. Cam Newton almost beat them in Buffalo. Don't forget, if he doesn't fumble, they win that game. They were going into the end zone in that game. They were dominating that team.
Yeah, I'm looking at today, though. I understand that, like, it's easy to – I just feel like the you know, like for example, I think Pittsburgh hasn't been playing well. I don't. But I think they're going to beat Cleveland. I'm just looking at it as – Buffalo relies on Josh Allen more than Phillip Rivers for the Colts. So, you know, the Cole Beasley effect, John Brown, all that, that's real when it comes to Josh Allen. Will Singletary and Moss be able to run on Indy? I don't think so. And I do think that other players, like, you know, I think Isaiah McKenzie can play the slot if Cole Beasley can't. That's something we've seen. Andre Roberts is another guy that has played well for Buffalo. And these are third and fourth receivers, you know.
Isaiah McKenzie looked decent.
And that's what I mean. I think he can play the slot if Beasley's down. I think the key is, what are you going to get out of Singletary and Moss, right? Like, if they can't – let's just say it's your handoff on first down, it's second and 10 or third and 7. Like, is that ideal for Josh Allen today? I don't. And – the closer the game, the better chance it is for the Colts to win.
I
think in a short situation, by the way, on the other side, I don't think the Colts have a problem going Jacoby Brissett. Like, I think they'll bring in Brissett in short yard situations if they have to.
We've seen
that keeps the ball out of Josh Allen's hands.
We've seen it. They need to run the ball with Jonathan Taylor and make the short dump offs to Nyheim Hines.
And Hines has been great in that role.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, those two together have been really, really good.
But what's happening right now? What's the deal with the offensive line for the Colts? I think that's going to be the story, right? I mean, if they're going to get at Rivers today. If I'm the Colts, I run, and keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands.
Without Costanzo, it's going to be difficult. But, I mean, Jared Valdir, former Patriot who didn't play a game, you know, has come and he's done a reasonably good job there. They have to run the ball to the left side behind Valdir and Nelson. just, you know, be consistent. That's what you got to do. DeForest Buckner, I know, is questionable. I think he's going to play. Rocky Sin is out. So, I mean, that's going to be, you know, an issue. Kenny Moore is going to have to step into that role there. And, I mean, they need elite play from the back end of that, you know, from that secondary. No Malik Hooker. You know, you got to, you know, you need to play well. And, I think with Darius Leonard, the team is better when Leonard plays. I think that's very, very, very clear. He's important. To me, it's just, I am very much concerned about the Colts today, because it goes against my take if they don't win this game. I need to see Josh Allen and Sean McDermott win a big playoff game. I think this is good competition. I think that, you know, it's not the best matchup against them. I would have much rather seen Cleveland or Baltimore take on.
This is the toughest matchup for Buffalo, if you ask me.
Oh no, I disagree. I think they would have gotten slaughtered by Buffalo or Cleveland. You run the ball all day.
Hey, who?
Buffalo or sorry, Cleveland or Baltimore?
Oh, Cleveland.
Baltimore.
Okay.
Either one.
Well, Cleveland's obviously has their situation right now.
I would still. I mean, again, Nick Chubb.
And Baltimore's favorite. I'm talking about a defense. I think the Colts defense can give the Bills fits.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think they can. They can get pressure. It's just Buffalo offensively has been so good. Again, you need to limit them in the red zone again, which is like the easiest, most basic thing you say in a game. I think you just need to control the game with Jonathan Taylor.
I wanted to just bring up the Seattle Rams game quickly. You wouldn't say the word defense with these two teams, right?
Seattle, the second half of the season has been a top 10 defense.
That's what I wanted to bring up. Besides the late 49ers touchdown, they have kept opponents under 20 points in six straight games. Now, Jamal Adams, I know, is going to be injured. He suffered a left shoulder injury. They expect him and it was a Jaren Reed to play.
Adam said he already is playing.
Okay. These two teams usually split the meetings. If you remember the last meeting, Russell Wilson threw two touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. Tyler Lockett beat everybody deep in that game. The Rams defense allowed the fewest points, total yards, yards passing, touchdown passes, and first downs in the league this year. All those things. I know on our podcast you mentioned you weren't a big fan of the Seattle running game. To me, if Jared Goff is limited, it's better for the Rams.
I mean, it might not be Goff. It might be Wolford.
And that kid's got balls. And McVay might like that. To me, it all comes down to how Seattle plays at home with Russell Wilson and the way that they're playing right now. I've already given out this pick. I have Seattle -3. I'm going to bet it money line too. I know it was a little more juice in there. It was a 160, something like that, whatever. So, like, this is typical to the Texans Buffalo game from a year ago. I love Seattle today. Love. Because when it comes down to it, give me the better quarterback in the situation and the team that's playing better defense. I know the Rams have played great defense. Seattle right now is playing. Seattle, remember when they couldn't stop the Patriots? Remember, like, early in the year, they just would give it up 30 points again? They were still winning games. Now they're playing defense and winning games.
Yeah, but they're not throwing the ball. And I think that's the reason they're winning games, because you're seeing less defensive, you know, possession, you know, actual snaps. They're, you know, Russ is not cooking. He's not throwing the ball, snapping back there, sitting, throwing down deep 40, 50 times a game, right? He's just like, you know, they're being much more conservative. They're running the ball more. Everyone's going to be on this under. I come back to Super Wild Card Weekend. Favorites and overs don't do well. Dogs and unders, and this is a game I see the dog and the under. This is a game I see the dog, not the under. I actually lean over in this game, to be honest with you. I think for the Rams to win this game, Cam Akers is going to be a huge part of the game plan. Akers, surprisingly, has been a really big part of the passing game for them in the last few weeks. He's been out of the backfield, been a big part of that game. Wolford actually found him for a big play last week. This is, in my opinion, has to be a throw the ball if you're the Rams. I know it sucks, but Seattle's going to be loading up on the run. They're going to be stacking the box because they're going to make Jared Goff prove that he's healthy and throw the ball, or they're going to make John Wolford throw the ball. That's what I would do. I would stack the box and say, beat us. Beat us on the outside. You can't. And you know, that's exactly what I would do. It's not that difficult. And I think they're going to throw the ball a lot. I think there's a potential to be an interception game. But at the same token, I think Russ is going to have to throw the ball a lot because they don't think defensively you're going to be successful running the ball with Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson. Both of them have been banged up. I know they're playing today, but they've been banged up all season. They're definitely not 100%. And Aaron Donald, you saw him. You saw him on the field before last game. This is who we wanted. This is who we wanted. Donald's going to be there. He's going to come to play today. He is. Mm-hmm. That offensive line of Seattle isn't that great. And the fact that this opened at 5 and is down to 3 concerns me. It's a dead number to a prime number. It's concerning if you're a Seattle backer, in my opinion. It is.
I already did it, but Seattle PP. And I'll throw the money line in there, too, if you want. But I already gave these out on the podcast, so I'm just doing it again today for those who didn't listen. All right, we'll get into Bucks, Washington. I want to talk about Baltimore, Tennessee coming up next. And, of course, the boring game of the week, New Orleans, Chicago. All right, we'll talk about that. And don't forget the national championship. We're going to do a whole segment on that, too, here. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, we'll get into the Tampa Bay game in a minute here. Just wanted to bring up this Baltimore-Tennessee game, which I think is, to me, that's the game I'm excited about this weekend. I'm interested, are we going to see MVP Lamar Jackson, the one that's really been playing well over the last few weeks? And then the Tennessee side of things, a team that went on a run last year with a star running back and found Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel and, you know, he grew a little bit of a legend there. Tennessee's a dog at home against a team that had to win its final few games to get into the playoffs. And we talk about defense and we talk about running games. Tennessee's defense, meh, okay? But we know what they did to Baltimore earlier this year.
They have some of the worst third down defense in the league. They're bad.
So the way Baltimore's playing right now, it's 7-3 against the spread. They're hot. I mean, as far as putting money on them, they're hot. That's why I think they're favored here.
I think it's just a story of two teams going in different directions. The Titans have struggled, especially defensively, you know, the last few weeks, and Baltimore has been playing their best football of the season. I don't even think that that's very arguable. But you know, Tennessee, in my opinion, when they face any sort of team, I mean, they gave up 40 to Green Bay in a game that was not competitive on Sunday night. That game was non-competitive game. Gave up 38 to the Texans in the game. They were blowing them out, let Texans, let the Houston team back in. And, you know, Houston almost won that game. The Titans needed a game-winning field goal to win that game. In a game, they were blowing them out. And it's just, ever since that Browns loss, this game, this team has gone in a different direction. I know they beat the Jaguars and the Lions, and those were convincing. But again, you're expected to beat those teams, especially this year.
This game figures to be like a fascinating contrast of just rushing attacks, if you really want to look at it. What Baltimore has done over the last few weeks, they've won 5 in a row. They lead the league in rushing, 192 yards per game. They found that rhythm, and they average 37 points a game over the last 5 games. That's hot. That's a team you don't want to play.
Yep.
What quarterback are you going to get? What quarterback are you going to get from Lamar Jackson tomorrow? Isn't that the story with him?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. It definitely, I mean, if you ask the question about Sean McDermott and Josh Allen in the playoffs last year, you have to be consistent and ask the same thing about Lamar Jackson. What he's done is, you know, his prior 2 games. You know, Tennessee has been an average run defense this year, Joe. They have, allowing, 120 yards a game on the ground. Baltimore has been, you know, much better, 106. I know, you know, in general, the difference, or 108, sorry, it's not a massive disparity, but I just think that, you know, that's a first down in the game, essentially. I do think that this is, you know, a game where Baltimore, both these teams are going to want to try to control the clock. We know what, you know, Tennessee's going to attack with Derrick Henry, play action. I think Lamar Jackson's going to have to throw the ball, Joe, and that's what concerns me. This game, to me, is the hardest one to make a decision on, total-wise, side-wise. This is not a game I'm going to be participating in the first half or full game. I'll be playing second half, if anything. I just think this is a game where you look at this and say, man, I don't know what the hell to do here. I don't, and I think that you can make a legitimate argument for both sides.
Financially, I feel like 54.5 is too high. But, and you know what's weird? I believe in Tannehill offensively in this game. Like, I feel like Ryan Tannehill can run the offense, make the throws, and hand the football off. I don't trust the Tennessee defense. And I'm going to be honest, I don't trust Lamar Jackson.
The Tennessee defense has been brutal. Brutal on third downs this year. I mean, that's a fact.
They have... can Jackson run? Like, can he run against... I saw the prop bet was like 78 yards or something.
He's been very, very good running the football the past few weeks. He has. He's kind of picked and choosing his spots, and he's been successful when he isn't committing to the run too early. The thing about Jackson that's been impressive the last few weeks is he's actually thrown the ball relatively well, Joe, and that's what needs to be, you know, that's what needs to show up in this game for Baltimore. Is Jackson has to throw the ball well. And you never really know what you're going to get. I don't know what to expect from either one of these teams. Like, again, I'd probably, if you're gun to the head, I'm taking the 3 points with the home team. But I don't feel confident in that. I don't feel confident at all. Not even a little bit. This is a game where I don't feel confident in a side, a total, anything. I think this is a very unknown game to me. I don't feel confident in it. I don't. It's my favorite game because of that, though.
Whenever you hear about a star running back like Derrick Henry, never forget the running back on the other team. I expect J.K. Dobbins to have a big day. Big day rushing. 617-779-0985. The Bears. The Bears go to New Orleans. I want to fade New Orleans so bad. The trends there, if you look at it, they're like one of the worst trended playoff teams, the Saints. We already watched Chicago cover a spread this year in Chicago when these two teams played earlier. The way I look at it is this. Can Chicago run the football in New Orleans? I think they're going to struggle to do so. That means that Mitch Trubisky has to throw the football, which he's done better of late. I still take injured Drew Brees over Mitch Trubisky. Mike Thomas expected back in this one, right? And that rushing attack for New Orleans is rested. Recipe of disaster, I think, for Chicago this week.
It's a big spread. There's no Trey Hendrickson this week for New Orleans. No Marcus Williams. Offensively, Michael Thomas should be back, Joe. Should be back. We don't know how healthy he's going to be, right? I don't think that you can go into that game counting on Michael Thomas to be the Michael Thomas of last year. We don't know about Kamara's status. My assumption is because it's a Sunday game, he's going to be clear to play. If it was Saturday, it would have been a real issue for him to play. But it sounds like it's going to be Kamara's going to play. I just look at this team and say, you know, New Orleans, I know that they've played very well the last two games, and they beat the Panthers and dominated the Vikings. There is something wrong with that team still. The last 3 weeks, they played very well offensively, but I look at them and I don't see it. There's something missing there. Drew Brees doesn't look like Drew Brees. The offense doesn't look like the offense. Manny Sanders has been fantastic for them. But just in general, I look at that team and I say there's something off there. You're right about Mitch Trubisky. He's going to have to throw the ball, and we know that leads to mistakes. And we know that that's going to be an issue. That's going to be a legitimate issue.
Just where's the threat? Where is the threat for Chicago?
It comes in Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson is your threat. You know, and I think that that's going to be, you know, he's going to have to be a huge factor in this game. And meanwhile, the Saints, I mean, you have to run the ball with Kamara, right? The Bears have a fantastic run defense too, Joe. So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's going to be kind of a both sides of the game. I think that both teams are going to struggle to score offensively in this game. This has if there's one game this week that has the potential to be the blowout game, like an absolute blowout, I think it's this one. I think the Saints could blow out the Bears. That being said, I could also see them, again, I don't see Breeze playing like he normally does. That's concerning to me. Bears, road dog, nothing really to lose. Pin your ears back, rush the passer. It does have the makings of kind of one of those games that's closer than it appeared, but a 10-point spread, it's a hell of a lot of points.
I think everything leans towards the Saints. It scares me.
It does. It does for me too. That's why I'm staying off a side. I like the under. That's what I gave on the podcast. That's what I'm sticking with.
All right, one final one before we hit the break here. The odds on total combined points scored wild card weekend. Tucker, you can get in on this one. Over or under 289.5 points. So let's do a little math here. 289 divided by 6, 48. Okay. Will there be 48 points per game?
You'll probably have one go pretty far over that total. Yeah, you think they probably have that Buffalo game.
History shows under.
That Baltimore game. One of those two, right. History shows under. I would go under. I would. I think you'll see the majority go under.
I'd lean under, too. I mean, it's not by much, but it's definitely under. I think that Seattle Rams, they've just been playing close all year.
Should we bet it?
I actually think that game is going to go over the total. But I still think it's going to be right around that. I think it'll be in that median 48 range, you know, for that game. Like, I just see those teams, like, offensively pick six. Something happens. There's going to be some scoring in that game more than we think. But, yeah, I still think it's an under. I do. I think it's an under.
Okay. Well, 289.5. We'll keep our eyes peeled on that one. You guys say under. I don't know. Should we bet it?
Yeah.
All right, let's bet it. PP, under 289.5 points. That's from Tucker.
You can't be putting PPs in Tucker's mouth.
Sorry, I took it.
Yes.
That's fine. wait, what?
Yes.
Wait, what?
Don't do that.
Sorry. Not what I meant like that, but.
Please don't do that.
No. Okay. It's early.
Did you save that?
I did.
You have to save that one.
I don't think we do.
Tucker does not want that cut.
I think that one deserves to be on the, you know, when Beasley's like, hey, man, can you guys send us some, like, you know, cuts from the show?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they'll just love that.
I think they would love to hear.
Love that.
Don't be putting pee-pees in Tucker's mouth.
Podcast picks.
Love that. They'll love that.
Hey, we got the national championship and a guy named Tom Brady. How about that? Playing football. We'll talk about that coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Catch up. I think I'm Big Beast. Larry Hoover. That's the song still gets me. I might listen to this on the way home.
Great song. get pumped up for grocery shopping?
That's right. I am. I'm going grocery shopping. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to go to Market Basket or Trader Joe's. I don't know. It's tough decisions, Tucker, you know? I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
Any preference, Doc?
I mean, can we talk about that?
maybe 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we can do it at 9 o'clock if you'd like.
No, I'm talking about, you know, specific places.
Whatever.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a Market Basket near me, so.
You know, that's funny. On the South Shore, there's no Market Basket.
There's one in Kingston or Plymouth, I think. Oh. But it's just too far of a drive for me.
Yeah.
One literally just opened in Maynard. Literally just opened.
Yeah, that's the spot, man. My first job ever was Star Market.
Yeah, that's right down the street from me.
Yeah.
I do have one of those.
I was a bagger.
Acton. Yeah.
I bagged.
You're a bag boy?
Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing.
Everyone's got to be a bag.
You didn't know what you're doing.
I just know not to
bag the groceries.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes the bread, and, you know.
Joe was not in the right state of mind to be bagging groceries.
So you when the eggs came down the conveyor belt, did you just freak out because you didn't know what to do?
No, I just stuffed everything in a bag. God. And then there were people who were like, I don't want any plastic. Take your things. Anyways. We'll discuss this again.
9 o'clock.
We'll discuss this later. Let's give the national championship some attention, Dan.
Okay.
So here we are. It's Alabama and Ohio State. Nobody predicted Ohio State. Nobody said that they would get there, Dan. Can you believe it? They defied all the odds.
I did.
Nobody thought that they could get there.
I told you they deserved to be in there over Clemson. They kicked that Clemson team sucks.
Oh, let's get over it. You already did your victory lap,
and then just trying to continue it. They sucked. Trevor Lawrence over.
Last week was the Dan Lifshitz victory party. You missed it.
Yeah, you Pecker. Missed it, Tuck. I took a victory lap about how everyone was wrong about the ACC.
I was wrong.
Everyone was wrong.
So therefore,
the ACC. By the way, can we just admit the ACC is going to suck even worse next year?
No, Trevor Lawrence. Let's see, Notre Dame will be down.
No, Derek King.
Ooh, Miami.
I guess UNC.
UNC will be good.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Notre Dame's going to be down.
Virginia's quarterback left.
It's Virginia Tech, Hendon Hooker transfer. Yeah. It's literally going to be UNC and Clemson again. And I guarantee you one of those two teams, probably both of them.
Maybe Florida State makes a comeback with Mackenzie Milton.
Please.
Anyways, so therefore, I would like to be consistent, everybody who's listening. This year in a pandemic, the square has won every single championship so far. But in football, it's one game. It's just one game. So, like, the Chiefs would be the square in the NFL. I actually like the Chiefs to win it all.
Chiefs and Packers.
I like the Chiefs.
Okay.
I hope the Packers don't win because I have a friend with a plus 1,100 to win the NFC East. Put a couple hundred bucks on that one.
No, the NFC.
I'm worried about that already. So I think in football we're gonna see a change. It's either gonna be in college or the NFL. Give me Ohio State plus the 8 points, please. PP. And I'm going to dabble slightly on the money line, Daniel. No, you don't have to PP that one.
I'm not going to.
But what is that number on that? I just got to get it here. It's here. I got it. I'm going to get you that number. Plus 260.
Okay.
A little dabble ski on that. My reasoning is Alabama gives up points. Ohio State scores points. Ohio State has a running game with a kid named Sermon who can control the football. We saw Alabama at times struggle on third down against, say what you want about Notre Dame. They covered, but they stopped them. They forced three and outs. They got at Mac Jones. I think the Ohio State defense can be better than Notre Dame. I think they can. Alabama's yet to be tested. I'm going Ohio State. Even though I do think that Alabama is the best team in the country. And if Jalen Waddle plays, I am really scared.
Okay. Bama, Ohio State, over 75. PP, baby. To me, this is the easiest play in the, again, I'm going total. Easier play than picking a side. I don't think you have to do it. I don't think you need to pick a side. I think you just take the total. This is going over. Ohio State's going to be an offensive team and, you know, an offensive downfield vertical team. They run the ball well. We have talked about Alabama's defense versus good offenses this year, right? We've talked about it on this podcast. Ole Miss put up, what, 49 against them? Is that right? Sorry, 48 against them. LSU put up 17, one of the worst offensive teams, and they still put up 17 against them. That game went over. Florida, who I think is probably the most comparable to this Ohio State team,
46. Ohio State is going to score. Alabama's going to score, too. They have the best wide receiver in college football. They have possibly another top five wide receiver in Jalen Waddle returning, although I'm not really expecting too much from him. Mac Jones has been fantastic. They have an elite running back. They move the ball downfield with Najee Harris. And I think that Ohio State's defense got exposed in that second half a little bit. Even though Clemson couldn't finish drives because Trevor Lawrence is overrated, when Ohio State blitzes, all you have to do is dump off the ball a little bit. Mac Jones has the personnel to do that. Okay, I didn't think that Clemson did, but Alabama does. This game's going over. Give me the over 75 BP.
All right. And finally, Tom Brady goes to Washington in the tomato can game. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry. The trends lean Washington. Everything leans Washington. Everything. Sorry. Nope. Tomato can. Tampa Bay will roll Washington today. Roll them. Tom Brady did not do all of this, whatever he did, leave New England to lose to the Washington football team. So, they're going to cover. You know what? PP it. Sure. Let's do it. Why not? PP. This is the annual Tom Brady tomato can game. He's going to light it up against Washington, and then it's going to be a nice little rematch next week between Tampa Bay and Green Bay. And let's not forget who won that game, Tampa Bay. And I may ask, just for a rooting interest here, because it's gambling. Oh, I'll actually give your opinion, Dan, and then we'll get into that.
No, it's okay. Good. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say, of all the teams, is there a team that you root for that you'd want to bet? That you'd want to bet every single game because you like them?
I don't bet with my heart. Ever,
okay, so for me, it's Tennessee. I want to they're going to be a dog every game they get, right? So I want to ride that Derrick Henry train all the way, and I like Mike Vrabel. I think there's a little something there. Like that's the team that I like. I don't bet with like, you know, the rooting interest. I guess that's what I'm saying. Like some people are rooting for Buffalo, right? A lot of people are rooting for Tom Brady, or are they?
Since 2006, Tom Brady on the road in playoff games, not good.
Yeah,
not good. Tom Brady is with a much worse team, in my opinion, much worse coach team, much worse team in general than he ever has been in his career before when he's won a Super Bowl. I felt that Patriots team when they went to the Super Bowl against the Rams, that defense was elite. I do not think this Tampa Bay defense is elite. That secondary is not good. And we talked about that was going to be their downfall this year.
But well, do you think the Washington offense is good?
No.
Who we don't know.
I think the Washington defense is very good.
No, and the guy I like is Montez Sweat. So, like, that's the guy I like.
But this is my problem. Brady, when he has faced an elite defensive front seven this year, has not been good. Not been good. There is not a team that he has faced who has this type of defense where he has been successful. And when he has faced these types of defenses, and now he has to do it on the road, I'm very concerned for Brady and this Tampa team. We talked about it on the podcast. The whole world, every single public $100 bettor, Joe Schmo, is going to be on the Bills Bucks teaser.
Ooh.
Everyone.
Yep.
Everyone. I've got 30 messages this week. What do you think about Bill Bucks teaser? What do you think about Bill Bucks teaser? What do you think about Bill Bucks teaser? Those are going to be the two most public teaser sides of the weekend. One of them is not going to win. One of them. Mm. I'm just saying it right now. One of them's not going to win. I'm calling my shot. The Bucks have not moved off the 6.5 number with Buffalo. They got up to 9, that 9 number on Washington, and it was immediately bet down by the Sharps at 7.5 now. So Tampa's 1.5. One of these teams losing outright. That's my personal feeling. If I prefer that it's not Tampa, I much prefer to fit my agenda and my fandom that it's Buffalo. But I've gone back and forth on this, and I'm starting to think that it's Tampa. The whole world is on Tampa.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are watching.
That's what I was going to say. That's the thing that worries me is I lean Washington, too, just because I think Brady sucks against the pressure this year, and I think the Washington defense is very, very good. But the thing that worries me is that from what I've gathered and the people that I've talked to, everybody's on Washington to cover. Yep. No, which not, scares me.
No, that's what I've seen.
No one's on Washington. All
my friends are. I heard Zoe and Beetle were talking about with Phil Perry yesterday. They were on Washington.
The two best teaser teams were Buffalo and Miami this year. So Buffalo, Bucks, you're right.
Lean Washington. I'll say that.
It's basically a money line.
I just think it's the tomato can game. That's what I think.
But the tomato can game has not gone well for favorites in the past. The last two tomato can teams, the Tim Tebow Broncos, who beat Pittsburgh, and the Seattle team, who beat New Orleans.
Let's break real quick. We'll wrap this up. 98.5 The Sports.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'm Joe Mari, Dan Lifshatz. Here's the. You got anything you want to get into, Dan? I know there's some odds on where the coaches are going to end up. What do you think of Urban Meyer, by the way? You think that's going to happen?
I think it will be Urban Meyer or Ryan Day. I think it will be one of them with Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. I think that's a pretty good landing spot. I mean, getting Trevor Lawrence is desirable. I personally don't like Trevor Lawrence as much as everyone else does, but I mean, it's a very desirable job if you get Trevor Lawrence.
All right, I want to throw out some trends at you, okay? Did you know that Buffalo is 15-1 in 6-point teasers this year?
Yep.
Okay. The Bills are 8-0 against the spread the last 8 games. And the Bills are 9-0 straight up their last 9 games in the playoffs as a home favorite. So I just want to throw that out there in that
one. Give us a crap about the 1980s. Okay, they even played in a home playoff versus like 1980.
That's dumb.
Yeah, okay. Who cares?
Seahawks, I mentioned their home record, 7-1 last 8 games as a home favorite.
I mean, at least they played in this decade.
Now, there are some Tampa Bay things that, for instance, Washington's 4-1 against the spread their last 5 games as an underdog. And the total has gone under in Washington's last 5 games. The average combined score has been 36 points. Did we ever talk about the total on that game, by the way?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Ravens, 7-2 against spread last 9 playoff games. And they're 5-0 against spread the last 5 games in the playoffs on the road. So these are just trends that I'm just throwing out there. The Saints, again, everything fades the Saints. 0-5 against the spread the last 5 games in the playoffs as favorites. There's just so many things that go. Now, the Steelers game, the total has gone. The over is big in these Steelers games. But the under has gone in 8 of the Browns' 10 games this year. It's gone under, or the last 10, actually. So I just wanted to throw out some trends that were out there when it came to Buffalo, when it came to Sunday in the playoffs here. So if we're looking at it, we already gave out our bets. Any upset today? If you were in this, just if you were to bet an upset.
If I'm betting a money line upset, I think I have to go Indy. I think Indy would be the team I would most like to take as a money line upset. I know they're not the biggest payout. They're the middle shot there. I would go Indy again. I don't trust Josh Allen and Sean McDermott until I see. And you know what? They'll probably win. They'll probably win by a lot. They'll probably cover, and they'll make me eat my words, and that's fine.
I know. It's just funny.
And I'll own it.
Makes me laugh. Mine's Tennessee.
Well, you said today.
Oh, today. Oh,
you said today.
Okay.
If I'm taking Indy for me. Okay. Yeah, it's Indy.
I don't like the Rams. Don't like the Rams.
I think the Rams have a chance too. But to me, that's not really much of an underdog. I mean, you know, what is it, like a plus 140 underdog, plus 150, not much of an underdog.
And by the way, I got that MMA fight, the UFC fight in last week at 165. That game's going to be on Channel 5. That fight is going to be on Channel 5. TBC, dude.
Do you know what the odds are going off at?
Well, it was 165 I got Holloway at.
Let's see. He is minus 165. Not even a little bit of movement.
The local kid from Methuen, who I'm fading, is going to be on... UFC is now going to be on net. Do you believe that, Dan? Remember when you were watching UFC fights?
I was, and then I remembered how...
the judges...
Holy... Want to talk about a fixing of a sport? Wow. They have six Scott Fosters.
Dude, I'm going to agree with you on that one. There was... When there was nothing to bet on and UFC was like at its like, you know, most watched, that was the worst judges. Those were the worst judges I ever saw in my life.
They had like six Scott Fosters. It's ridiculous.
I have to agree with you that. And that's when I was like, you know what? I don't know this sport. that's when I was like, you know, I love MMA. I'm a fan, but like, I don't know. I
can't watch it.
But in boxing, I get it. Like, I get why, like, you know, maybe a defensive fighter might get a point. You know what I mean? And like, and, you know, and then when it's like, oh, it's going to come down to the judges. Like, I get it in boxing. MMA? Nope.
If you watch a fight and one dude whoops the other dude's ass and you can't tell who won, why are we doing it? Why do we have judges?
I'm serious. You MMA fans out there, I love this. I love it. I watch it. I eat it up. But damn those judges. How do you figure that stuff out?
I watched the women's fight, okay? I had money on the woman who ended up winning. She got beat so bad.
Her eyes were all.
I was like, there's no way this chick is winning. No way. She won. I was like, how? How did she win? I'll take my money, but how? Dude, she got slaughtered in that fight. I can't remember her name because I don't care. No but like,
somebody.
It come on. What?
That was back in March and April when
the sport sucks.
Oh, man.
It's fun to watch, but the outcome, the results suck.
Great, the judge result.
Yeah, the sport is fantastic. Like, watching the beat the crap out of each other is fantastic. The having judges, I mean, what are we even doing? Just let a robot decide, honestly. Or vote on it. A vote. Fan vote.
All right, Dan. Super wild card weekend in the books. This has been another edition of the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
Who you got?
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.